Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today we are joined by an iconic music saxophonist or saxophonist. I'm not really sure. He'll set the record straight. But we're welcomed by Boney James, who is with us today. And it's great to have you back on the show, Boney.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Now, how did you get the name Boney James? Because I think it was Boney James Oppenheimer when you were
yes.
a kid.
Well, Oppenheim. You know, this was about 1986. I was on the road with Randy Crawford's band at the time, just playing keyboards and sax as a side man. I probably weighed 50 pounds less than I do now. But even then, I said to Dwayne Lindsay, the keyboard player at the time, man, everything costs a fortune. We were in Oslo, Norway, a very expensive town. I said, I just won't eat for the next couple of days. And he said, oh, you get even skinnier. I have to start calling you Boney James. And I said, please don't call me Boney James. And that's how you get a nickname. And it just stuck. You know, now, of course, I'm trying to fight to not be Pudgy James, but I'm stuck with this name.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. You're from Lowell, Massachusetts. I used to live in Framingham, not too far from Lowell. And Massachusetts is a great place. Where are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles in my home studio. We're gearing up to head out on the road very soon. And this is where I make the records.
And you've got some big markets you're going to go to. I don't see anything international. Do you have plans to tour internationally?
We're playing in Mexico, in Puerto Vallarta. There's a jazz festival happening in December. But yeah, we don't get overseas too much. You know, my fan base is mostly in the States.
Really? Wow, that's very interesting.
I would love to change that.
The saxophone is a big instrument around the world. I lived in Hong Kong for 5 years, and every year Kenny G would play, the Hong Kong Stadium and sell out three, four shows at 15,000 seats a pop.
Yeah, you know, Kenny G, I think, got into those markets at a time when they were more receptive to this kind of music. And when I came along, that time had passed, but I still keep banging on the door. So hopefully someday we will break in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're way past breaking in. 20 number one songs on the smooth jazz chart. That's well past breaking in.
I'm very fortunate that I do have a career that supports me here in the United States. So it's a good thing.
So set the record straight. Is it saxophonist or saxophonist?
I think that's user a choice.
That's tomato, tomato, I guess.
Exactly.
Boney James is our guest, one of the great saxophone players in all of modern jazz, or smooth jazz, as it's also known as. It's an interesting format. I think that term was created for radio. Smooth jazz, just to differentiate that between, the old classic style jazz.
Yeah, I never call my music that. You know, I mean, a lot of people do, and they think that that's what I am. But I just call it Boney James music, and hopefully it's got its own unique sound.
And you collaborate with singers, with vocalists?
I do occasionally. You know, I mean, generally it's been about one or two sometimes per record. I invariably am writing the music, trying to write it for me as the lead artist playing the saxophone. But every now and then a song will be born that needs to be a vocal in my estimation and, the intuition that you have about these things. And then I reach out to singers that I admire because I do love R&B music. And I've been able to make some records that have crossed over into R&B radio, which has been a really great thing for growing my audience.
If you had a genie in a bottle, it came out and said, okay, Boney James, you can collaborate with three artists of your choice, dead or alive, who would they be?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, I have been so fortunate to have some dream collaborations already have taken place. You know, I've got 30 or 40 songs out there that Concord, my label, put out recently, a best of Boney's duets, and I was impressed with the list of people that I've already worked with. The new record has a wonderful singer named October London on a song called All I Want Is You, which I'm really proud of and is turning out to be one of my biggest hits in like 20 years. But I mean, I've already worked with Anthony Hamilton. I worked with Al Jarreau. I worked with George Benson. You know, I've worked with so many wonderful artists. So Stevie Wonder is probably still on the top of my list. Mm-hmm. I really admire Maxwell. I think he's super talented. Chaka Khan is another one of my favorites I have yet to work with. But like I said, I pinch myself all the time that I've been able to make all this music with collaborators.
It's amazing. You've had a very amazing career. And now you're up to your 19th record, which is called Slow Burn. And it's now out, now available. And so I'm very interested to know, tell me about this new album. What makes this different than the one we talked about last year?
Every record is unique in my mind. It's just a snapshot of an album of where you are in your life when you're writing these songs. And this one, really, I'm just super proud of. I just very, very impressed myself with the music that I wrote for this record. Some of the songs are just very evocative, and it's got this slow burn quality to it. I looked at the term slow burn up in the dictionary, and it says builds with a slow but deliberate intensity. And I thought that sounded pretty good. So the title cut was really the first one of those that I thought, wow, it's just, and then I thought, well, that term refers to my career in a way, because here I am, as you say, 19th record, and I still think I'm just hitting my stride. So I feel like I really nailed the sax performances on this record, and I'm emoting in a way that I can feel, and then hopefully the audience can as well. There's a couple of great covers on there, some famous jazz tunes. I did a Herbie Hancock song I've never done before. I've got Marcus Miller on the record playing bass, and Corey Henry's a wonderful keyboard player. Rick Braun is on the record, so it's just a really special record.
That's amazing. That's, Slow Burn is the name of the new album from Boney James, who's our guest today. It's his 19th album, and he's just hitting his stride.
That's how I feel.
It's and you have a song called All I Want Is You that's currently a top 15 hit on the R&B radio, 7 million streams.
Incredible. Yeah, it's a really cool track, if I say so myself. I heard October London, the vocalist, on the radio last year. He sort of came out of nowhere. He's on Snoop Dogg's label. And apparently he played the song for Snoop Dogg, and he said, "That's a hit, man. You're going to put that on your record too." So we've actually done a couple of Facebook Live, YouTube Lives, and Snoop Dogg's been there tweeting in the background at us. So it's been really an exciting track, and it's just beautiful music. I'm really proud we created it.
What will you do for us first?
The first song that I'm going to play is the new instrumental single that was just recently released to radio. This is a sort of a funky track. Paying an homage to my roots as a Minneapolis guy. I didn't grow up in Minneapolis, but my first gig as a musician was playing with Morris Day, playing keyboards in that band in 1985 through about 90. And this song has a funky sort of groove to it. I call this one Slide.
All right, Slide, Boney James here on Border Crossings. Boney James, and that is called Slide. You're watching Border Crossings on VOA TV. Boney James is our guest. The new album is called Slow Burn. Now, you mentioned, you know, that you worked with some great artists, and I know you also played for a bit with the Isley Brothers, I believe.
Yes, I was an honorary Isley brother for 2 years.
A brother from another mother.
It was like 1988 through 90. It was a great band. Tony Maiden from Rufus was the musical director, guitar player, and incredible musicians in the band. And just to be on stage behind Ronald Isley every night singing those classic songs, it was a real great learning experience for me.
Mm-hmm. The process for Boney James, when you go in the studio and you're recording an album, do you riff any? Do you get to, you know, improvise and go off chart, or do you have to follow sheet music?
No. You know, I have just a vague idea of what I'm going to play when I sit down to record these songs. You know, I have a melody in my head. I've usually sung some ideas into this little old school memo recorder, and I've got probably 5 or 6 ideas of what I think the melody is. And then I am in the corner of this room, and my engineer is sitting over here running the machinery. And I just start playing, and the song comes to life and really turns out into what it is that day. And it's a real sort of journey of discovery for me. I mean, I have an idea of what I want to play, but I always surprise myself, and those are the great moments.
And what's the last song you sang into your little voice recorder?
On the new record? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. When the last song you sang in there?
You know, it's all just original music. I get these thoughts in my head, and then I have to put them down on tape so I don't forget them, because I will.
And where's the most unusual place that you ever got a song came to you?
Well, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night and grab that thing all the time, because I just get, luckily, I still have a music floats into my head from somewhere, and I need to put it down. And then the songwriting is the discipline of taking those little snips of ideas and turning them into songs, which is really the hard work.
Mm-hmm. Slow Burn is the album. Boney James is our guest here. It's his 19th album, and you're just getting started. So does it seem like it's been 19 albums? Does it feel like it's been a minute, or has it, you know, I mean, each and every one of them tells its own story?
Yeah, I mean, it goes by in a flash. I think that's life in general, isn't it? You know, I mean, I can't believe I'm as many years old as I am either.
Yeah, and you don't look your age at all. Not at all.
Thanks.
I mean, you're a year younger than me, and I look every bit of 64.
Pshaw.
Happy birthday to you, by the way. A little bit late. I know it's a month late, but happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Now, I'm looking in the back, and I see keyboards. I see sax.
Yeah.
Which came first for Boney James? What did you learn to play first?
You know, clarinet was my first instrument in third grade. I switched to sax when I was 10. Keyboards, I started playing when I was about 13. I had an urge to try and write songs that early, and I needed to have some sense of harmony to do that. So I took like 3 piano lessons, and the rest is all self-taught. But, you know, as I said, my early professional experiences were playing mostly keyboards, because I knew how to work the synthesizers and program sounds, and I could learn parts. I am not a great piano player at all, but I'm a good side man, because I will learn your song and play it exactly right every night, you know. So that was really how I made my living for 7 years, was playing keyboards with a sax solo or two. And that was pretty much the impetus for my whole solo career, because I really didn't like that lifestyle. I really wanted to just play the saxophone. And that's how I expressed myself.
What is your favorite part of being Boney James?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm so grateful to have this job. You know, I mean, I still love playing the saxophone and performing shows and making records today as much as I did when I first started doing this. It gets me up excited every day to see what's next. And I couldn't be more grateful to have this job.
Mm-hmm. And who were your role models, your inspiration for playing the sax?
Well, you know, I often say that Grover Washington Jr. was a real big moment for me. The first time I heard Mr. Magic in 1975, I love R&B music, but I also love the saxophone. And he was the first artist I heard that was combining these two genres. And that's kind of the tradition that I try to carry on today.
Mm-hmm. Boney James is with us. What are you going to do for us next?
I want to play the title cut off of the record. As I said, Slow Burn builds with a slow but delivered intensity. This is one of my favorites on the new CD, Slow Burn.
Slow Burn. Here's Boney James on Border Crossings. Thank you. Border Crossing, Slow Burn. It's the title track to the new album. Why did you call the album Slow Burn? What is it about that song that made you say this is the title track?
You know, whenever I'm thinking of a title for any song, I'm just listening to it. This is usually right before the record's coming out, and I don't have titles, and I'm desperate to come up with something. But my job is to sort of poetically try and communicate the feeling that I'm getting as I, as a listener, am sitting there. So Slow Burn, as I said, just popped into my head, and I thought, gee, that kind of works for this one. You know, it's sexy, and it evoked the feeling for me, and that's what titles are all about in my mind, trying to find some clever or poetic way to evoke the feeling of the song.
Mm-hmm. And when someone says to you, you're number one again, I mean, it's 20 times. It's not, doesn't have the same impact it had that first time.
It never gets old.
Never gets old.
No, it's always a thrill. It's always a thrill hearing the music on the radio for the first time. And when the records connect with the audience, it's a wonderful, fun part of my job.
Mm-hmm. And you also have a billion streams, which is a huge number. I mean, can you wrap your head around a billion streams?
No, it's incredible. It's really incredible. You know,
send you $1 for each one of those streams, you wouldn't have to work so hard.
Then I would probably have more of a sense of it, but they don't send you $1 for each.
Boney James is our guest, and working on a tour. You just started the tour. It's not going to be international, but you're Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and many places in Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, Washington, Detroit, Oakland, California, and Las Vegas to finish up the tour. So where, you know, favorite places you like to play?
Oh my gosh. You know, my favorite place is where I am that night. You know, there's a great, I don't know if you saw the movie Hoosiers with Gene Hackman.
Yes.
And he goes and measures the basketball court, and it's the same size everywhere you go. And I feel like the stage is the same way. You know, every night is just my favorite place. But, you know, different audiences are different. And it's really our job just to turn every show into the best one that we've ever had.
Mm. Do you have a highlight in your career that you can share?
Oh my gosh. You know, I mean, living here in Los Angeles, as I do, whenever I play the Hollywood Bowl, it's such an iconic venue. It is 17,000 people. It's always a thrill. But I mean, I've had some of my best shows in smaller venues as well. So honestly, I am telling the truth when I tell you, it's every night is just the bomb.
Mm-hmm. And what do you prefer? Do you prefer the big crowds? Like if you're at a festival and there's 50,000 people there, or if you're in a small, intimate 300, 500 people, 1,000 people,
You can get that same feeling. I mean, when I was younger, I used to have to go do like shows for record companies in conference rooms. And I mean, you can make that connection. That's what music is all about to me, is communicating. And when you get eye contact with someone and you're playing and they're hearing what you're doing, there's something visceral about it that it can happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the changes in the business that have happened in the last decade? I mean, there's technologies moving quickly, and now there's artificial intelligence. Are you comfortable with all that?
I am not so worried about artificial intelligence. You know, I know a lot of people are concerned about it, but I don't see that supplanting music made by humans anytime soon. Mm-hmm. The changes in the business have been so many ever since. I mean, I started back in the old days when there was a record store in every corner, and you know, I lived through sort of a heyday of the CD era, where, you know, at least I have had four records that sold more than 500,000 copies. So things have changed now in how you count up the success of the record. But and there were some scary moments. But I can say sitting here now that things are better than they've ever been for me, you know, so I guess it's all okay in the long run. You know?
You're blessed. You're lucky. Yeah. A lot of people try and they don't achieve anywhere near the success that Boney James has had. I, you know, was also interested to know the best advice you ever got and who gave it to you.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I had a wonderful sax teacher when I was younger. Bill Green was his name, a session musician here in town from Kansas City originally. And he always told me that the music is a lifetime of study. And I keep that in my mind all the time, because every day I wake up and I try and play a little better, and then never run out of things to learn.
Hmm. That's amazing. You're self-taught, or did you said you had a saxophone teacher?
Yeah, no, I studied. I mean, I learned in regular school, public school, and I had a private teacher that when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I used to go down to his little studio and study with him. But for the most part, the big learning I've done has been sort of on the gig or by myself, and just putting the time in to try and I still, as I say, I practice every day, so I'm still trying to improve.
Do you go back and look at the songs you wrote when you were a teenager?
Well, you know, every now and then you come. My music gets played places, and not when I was a teenager, but when I was younger, certainly I hear those early records, and it's interesting to have a new perspective. I think I like my sound better now, but some of those songs have stood the test of time.
Right. I'm not talking about the established songs, the songs you wrote that nobody's ever heard,
Oh
that you
my
didn't
gosh!
share with anybody, that you say,
Luckily,
you
I don't have.
know.
I don't think I have those committed to memory anywhere.
Boney James is our guest. Slow Burn is his 19th album, out on tour these days, and an award winner, four Grammy nominations, three NAACP Image Award nominations, Soul Train Award for Best Album, four gold record certifications, and in 2009, Billboard named Boney James one of the top three contemporary jazz artists of the decade.
Yeah,
And
that
this
was
past
wild.
year, you know, he scored his 20th number one song on the smooth jazz charts.
Pretty amazing.
It's an amazing, amazing career. It's moving every day. It's going, you know, I look and I say, I can't believe that life, I've lived how many years I've lived, and you know, it's unbelievable how quickly time passes.
I agree.
Enjoy every minute while you can.
That's
Are you
the
going to
thing.
do another song for us?
Yeah, I want to play a song. This is the Herbie Hancock song I mentioned earlier. This is one of my favorite songs that Herbie had written. And this melody just got stuck in my head. I found myself at soundcheck just noodling with it. So I thought, well, maybe I'll try and make an arrangement and see if I can come up with a Boney-esque sort of way to play this song. So one of my favorite songs, it's featuring Marcus Miller on bass, Corey Henry playing the keyboard solo. This is Herbie Hancock's Butterfly.
Butterfly. It's a classic from Herbie Hancock with Boney James. This is Border Crossings.
Thank you.
Border Crossings, Boney James, Butterfly. Beautiful song. And of course, you're one of the great saxophonists of all time.
Oh, thank you.
You will go down in music history as one of, you know, one of music's favorites on the saxophone, which is a very sexy instrument.
I agree. Some people say it's the sexiest instrument there is, but my band would disagree.
Sax appeal, right? Boney James is talking with us today, and will you go internationally? Do you have any thoughts or plans about taking your tour around the world? I mean, you said Mexico, but I mean, we're on in 100 countries around the world.
Well, hopefully people watching will ask their local promoters to bring us in, because that's how it works. You know, they need to know that there's demand for that. So if you want to see us, let people that put on shows where you are know.
Have you ever played Tokyo at the Blue Note?
I played Tokyo at the I played Tokyo the Blue Note Tokyo a couple times. We played Billboard Live most recently over there, and we've had a wonderful time. You know, I hope we get to go back soon.
That would be great. Okay, well, as we wrap things up, where can people get the new album Slow Burn? I guess Amazon, iTunes, Pandora, wherever you can get albums.
Wherever records are streamed or sold, you can find my CD. Also, you can just go to bonyjames.com, and all my social media links are there as well, and the tour dates. And so that's probably your best place to stay connected.
BonyJames.com. That's your
Correct.
Website.
Yes.
So before we split, I wanted to give you a chance to send a message out to the worldwide audience of 350 million around the world. And also, we've got the troops tuned in among the 350 million. So the stage is yours.
Well, thank you to the troops for your service. We appreciate it and love you. Thanks to everyone for listening. I'm so grateful to still be able to make my music, and couldn't do it without you. It's not the same when you're not there. That's my message.
Thank you, Boney James. A pleasure to talk to you again. And please don't be a stranger. Come back and see us again soon.
Thank you so much, man.
Boney James, Slow Burn is the new album. BoneyJames.com is the place you can get a copy for yourself, and would make a great stocking stuffer for the holidays, you know. So thank you so much for watching Border Crossings with Boney James. I'm Larry London, and this is VOA TV.